Tricia Torrey, the founder and executive director of AFA, the Alliance of Professional Health Advocates. I want to welcome you to the first in a series of podcasts entitled, Is Independent Advocacy Right for Me? You've identified yourself as someone who thinks just maybe advocacy is right for you, and because independent advocacy is a career for those with passion and compassion, meaning you'll likely invest your blood, sweat, and tears, we want you to be sure it's a good fit before you begin to invest your time, money, and efforts into carving your niche in our advocacy world. By the time this podcast series is complete, we hope you'll say, yes, 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 independent advocacy does sound right for me. So let's get started. We'll begin by answering the first question asked by many advocate wannabes, that is, what does a health or patient advocate do? Well, if I look up advocate in the dictionary, the definition will include references to the legal system, and sometimes it will even reference the healthcare system, and often it will make it sound as if advocates are somehow at odds with the people who get dragged through those systems, as if, wow, things aren't being done right here. This person needs an advocate to help. It almost sounds contentious. And you know, none of those pieces of the definition are wrong, but there are definitely important nuances to consider. Specifically, when it comes to the healthcare system, advocates play many roles. You may know, or may have even met, or maybe you've been a hospital advocate. Sometimes the customer service people who work for insurance companies are called patient advocates. Pharmaceutical companies sometimes call their marketing and their customer service people advocates. And then there are other names for all of those folks, like patient representatives or ombudsmen. You'll also hear navigators or liaisons or care managers or case managers. They're all basically titles for the same thing, and that is someone who helps patients find better outcomes from the system. Now, that all sounds well and good, but what do we mean by find better outcomes? Well, there are two patient outcomes we want to improve. Care outcomes, anything having to do with the actual care received, and whether that's a doctor appointment or lab tests or surgery or the outcome from any sort of treatment. You've also probably seen or heard us use the term care manager because we use that interchangeably with advocates who work on the care side. The other side is cost outcomes, meaning making sure the patient's finances are being dealt with fairly, whether that's the cost of insurance premiums, or getting a claim approved or processed, or recognizing that so many hospital bills are just wrong, and then reconfiguring them in some way or negotiating them. You can see that those two sides of advocacy are both huge, and anything we can do as advocates or care managers to improve that journey for a patient will fall on one side or the other. There's also a very important point to call out here, and that is, patient advocacy as a profession is not medical. Let me repeat that. Advocacy is not medical. So all the assistance provided to patients is all about the aspects to the journey that support the medical, but are not medical services themselves. So how does one get involved in the profession of patient or health advocacy or care management? Well, there are advocates who work for employers, those we mentioned previously who work for hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, health insurance companies, or other businesses that profit from the healthcare services. And then there are independent advocates, also called private advocates, like the difference between a lawyer who works in her own firm or instead for a large legal corporation. The Alliance of Professional Health Advocates, AFA, focuses on helping those who wish to be independent advocates, independent of the constraints put on them by those larger profit-making corporations, which too often value those profits over the patients they're supposed to be helping. So what kinds of things might you help a patient with when you're independent of those large corporations? Well, here's some examples. A patient isn't sure he's been diagnosed properly, but he's afraid to ask his doctor more questions. So he hires a private advocate because who on the inside of the system will question the doctor? Or a patient's been told what sort of treatment she'll need, but she has actually read about some other form of treatment and wants to learn more about it, but she's not sure how to do that. You might be able to help her figure that out. Maybe a patient has just been discharged from the hospital and was given a long list of instructions, but is just too exhausted or still in too much pain to be able to process them. Who but someone like you can help that patient get what he needs? A patient was approved for her surgery, followed all the recommendations, and the entire process seemed to go great. Until she gets home and a few weeks later gets a bill from the anesthesiologist, because the one who'd been approved didn't show up that day, and the one who helped with her surgery wasn't part of her insurance plan. So who's going to get that payment to the anesthesiologist approved for payment by insurance? You might be that person. An adult daughter realizes her mother can no longer live by herself in her big house, and she needs help determining where to move mom, assisted living or a nursing home. And oh, by the way, her brother, who lives clear across the country, refuses to cooperate or help out. If you have experience with mediation or negotiations, that liaison can be you. These examples, and hundreds more, are representative of what a patient advocate does. Now, this is important. Not everyone does all these things. In fact, the smartest and best advocates figure out which parts they're good at, which parts they like to do, and those are the services they actually offer themselves. They also learn how to find other advocates to partner with who do the parts they don't do themselves, and that's how they best serve their clients. Aha, did you hear that word, clients? Well, once you're working in your own independent business, that's who they become. Those patients become your clients, which, of course, takes us back to that word advocate. Just like in the legal system, we call those people we work with through our own independent and private practices clients. And finally, a little story for you that provides a great picture of who we are as independent advocates. About 10 years ago, I was trying to determine whether or not clients who hired and paid for a private patient advocate could take a deduction on their income taxes for that. You know, the IRS and the CRA in Canada maintain lists of allowable deductions and items that can be charged to a flexible or health spending account. But what we didn't know was whether patient advocates could be included in those deductions. Since that could mean a huge deduction for clients and might make a difference in whether they could afford to hire an advocate, it was an important question that needed an answer. So after about 2 hours on the phone with the IRS and a thorough discussion of how such a deduction could ever get approved, the IRS rep and I started going through the existing list of deductions. "Well, you can deduct for nursing services," he told me. "But we're not working as nurses," I told him. "In fact, it's against our code of ethics, and we can't get liability insurance to perform medical services as patient advocates." "Well, home health is deductible," he replied, working his way down the list. "But we're not home health," I explained. "Again, we're not doing anything medical like tracking blood pressure or assisting with ADLs, those activities of daily living, so that's not really a good parallel either." As he was working his way farther down the list, I was too, and I came upon, get this, guide dogs and therapy animals. "That's it," I told him. "That's where we are. We're like guide dogs for patients who've been blinded by the healthcare system. We're the ones getting them from point A to point B safely, securely, and we're looking out for them and only them." And so I submit to you that advocates, health advocates, patient advocates, care managers, navigators, as you've heard that long variety of names, we are guides with vast knowledge of a system that's capable of delivering great service to its patients, but too often misses that mark. Bringing that knowledge to work with our clients, the patients who deserve so much better than the system usually delivers. And that's what a patient advocate does. Our next podcast, number 2 in the series, will address your ability to make a living as an independent advocate. What can you charge? How much money can you make? What does it cost to get started? Well, if you're a member of AFA, you'll find a link to number 2 on the same page as you found this podcast. If you're not a member, you have a couple of options if you'd like to hear the answers to those questions. You can either purchase the podcast series. You'll find a link right on the page where you found this one. We'll deliver each of them to you a few days apart. If you don't want to wait for the answer, you can get it right away. Just join the Alliance of Professional Health Advocates. You'll find all these podcasts, plus a number of free gifts and much, much more for the price of membership. Thanks for joining us for this podcast, What Does a Patient Advocate Do? We hope we answered that question for you.